Rewind is an award-winning insider's look at Wisconsin politics and public policy. Brought to you by Wisconsin Eye and wispolitics.com. To become a program sponsor, please send an email to rewind@wiseye.org.
I believe united we stand, and we have common ground to find, and we're going to find it. We're not even going to be
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind for the week before Joint Finance hopes to have a 2019-2021 budget. But first, Wiseye was there. It was Hemp History Week in the Capitol. First responders plea, fix our roads. And we have an endorsement of the legislative agenda of the LGBT caucus. And finally, this warning. Without changes, trapping in Wisconsin is going to die. Wiseye was there.
We need to support the people that are doing this, like my company, who cannot process credit card orders right now, who can't properly pay my taxes because I can't find a bank that will let me keep open a checking account. And if we can't have that money moving, this industry will stop in its tracks.
When Wisconsin citizens call 911, they expect and deserve a timely response from emergency services. So essentially, we're calling on lawmakers to pave the way to better roads in Wisconsin, improve public safety, and lead us forward, as our great state model says.
Almost every day, whether explicitly or implicitly, my gender identity is undermined. When I was forced to pick between an M or an F to put on my driver's license, I felt othered, like there was a place for everyone but me. Just a few months ago, I personally was denied access to healthcare services simply because of who I am. That's why I'm so thrilled that this bipartisan group of legislators has crafted the equality agenda. As a part of that agenda, Representative Sargent and Spreitzer have proposed a bill that would establish a transgender equality task force.
If you don't move forward, you guys wouldn't have got elected. Trapping's gonna die. We have to do something. I think you guys need to take and embrace every single thing. Social media, the tradition, the aspect, I think that you could move forward as a state.
Yesterday, Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee finally came out with a plan to pay for highways. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of nuances, so let's first, before I get your reaction, let's walk through what it does. It increases the $69.50 title fee by $94. It takes it up to $164.50. The governor recommended only a $10 increase. Yep. The governor's, by the way, when you raise it by $94, you raise an additional, according to the State Journal, $273 million. Okay, so the governor wanted $10. They're up to $95. $75 registration fee that hasn't been increased on vehicles and light trucks since 2008 will go to $85. They want to borrow $326 million, which is slightly less than the governor recommended in February. They're diverting an additional $90 million from the general fund and the transportation fund. Two more items before I give you a chance, JR. They killed, as they said they would, the governor's 8-cent upper in the gas tax. That, when you index that, that would have been worth, let me look at the number, $521 million. And they killed the 27% increase the governor recommended in heavy truck registration fees, which means that if this becomes law, you and I are going to pay $85 on our vehicles. Because we both live in Dane County, we also get to pay $28 mm-hmm. more local wheel tax. But the registration fees on heavy trucks will not go up. Okay, that's my summary. Your take. You were there.
Overall, Republicans are about the same spot for how much they want to spend. That was the message from Fiscal Bureau. They just get there in a very different way. And the reality is that for Republicans, a gas tax increase, while there are definitely segments of both caucuses that are interested in, is not politically palatable for the overall caucus. If you try to put a gas tax increase to both houses, it would not pass Republican caucuses. So if you can't have a gas tax increase, what do you do? Borrowing significantly more money was not an option because of the debt service we're already at, which is like 19 cents and change in every dollar going to the transportation fund right now is just for debt service. So they found a way to put more money in without going to a tax. And I've asked several Republicans this week, why is a fee okay, but a tax is not? And they acknowledged, like, just the politics of it. There, I mean, one, you have some Republicans who just, in general, do not think DOT needs more money. It's an agency that needs to be reformed. They need to find efficiencies, and end of story. There are those who are okay with putting more money in, but they don't want to do a tax because, you know, they are no tax increase folks. Then you have those who are okay with it. So the caucuses are all over the board, and this is a solution, again, to avoid a tax increase, but raising more money.
Okay, but this is so important, I want to come back to it in two ways. Number one, the day before Joint Finance voted, 10 Republican senators, mm-hmm. 10 of the 19, didn't include the Senate Majority Leader, and didn't, but it did include Chair of Transportation, Petrowski.
And all six caucus members of the Finance Committee.
Yes. They set out with an opening bid. We want to take some of the surplus money. We want to give $1 million to every county.
Regardless of size or population.
Pardon me?
Regardless of size or population,
right.
The same money
so
each one.
Right. So Taylor County would get the same million as Milwaukee County under that plan. Mm-hmm. So that was on Wednesday. On Thursday, Joint Finance adopted the plan that we just outlined. Is the plan of the 10 Republican senators still around, and we may see it later, or
no,
is that off the table?
That $90 million one-time infusion of cash, it's very similar.
Yes.
The Senate GOP plan is $133.6 million. This is $90 million. It does it in different ways. The complaint that came out immediately after the Senate Republican plan was released was, you're not doing villages and cities, which is where 70% of our population in Wisconsin lives.
Yes.
Why not? So this is kind of, you know, a little bit of a compromise. Much like if you look at that DOT motion, there are things like limits on what local governments could do to regulate quarries.
Quarries.
That's all about aggregate, which we use in building roads. They want to try and find a way to make it less expensive. Problem is that Governor Walker vetoed a very similar provision out of the budget 2 years ago. Two, there is a new provision there about designing highways, trying to find a cheaper way to do it. Those things get at an issue with DOT that I talked about, where there are folks who just believe they have too much money as it is, or they're not using it efficiently, I should say. So they're trying to find ways to get at efficiencies to make some folks in those caucuses happy.
Well, okay, but I heard Craig Thompson, our transportation secretary, on TMJ Radio today, said this plan is more responsible, but it is not as the borrowing pattern and the read my lips, no fee, no tax increase of Governor Walker. So it's more responsible, but it's not as sustainable, and it also doesn't tax our wonderful out-of-state visitors when they come to our parks. So that's part of it, but the other thing I want to add, what about Senator Dewey Strobel on finance voting against this, mm-hmm. number one? And what about the press release that you and I saw from Senator Steve Nuss at Whitewater saying, I can't support this?
Well, Dewey Strobel said he voted against it because he's not happy with Craig Thompson, because he was a former lobbyist for the road building industry. He has had an issue with Craig Thompson since his appointment. People I talked to immediately afterwards said, you know, they think Strobel will be there for the budget in the end.
They do.
Because he's on finance, so he better. You know, that's kind of part of the deal, right? You help craft the budget, you better support it.
Right.
He also said before his quote about Craig Thompson that he has been happy with the budget so far. Steve Nuss had a statement out late last night that he had concerns about DOT because they're putting more money in without, in his words, reforms. Now, Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald, the two leaders in the Assembly and the Senate, put out a statement yesterday evening saying there will be a separate package of bills that will move with quote-unquote reforms. I use the quote-unquote because I don't know what they are yet.
Separate package of bills not folded into the budget.
That's what sounded like last night.
This summer or this fall.
This month. They said this month. Roll them out. What is it going to look like? We'll see. But they're trying to do things to assure some concerns that wing of the caucus that's going, I'm not comfortable with that much more money. So, okay, well, yeah, they're getting more money, but they're also getting these strings attached to make sure it's spent wisely. Now, here's some problems. If they're not in the budget, why would Governor Evers sign them, right?
Right.
So there's one issue. Two, you have to address these other issues. So Nuss mentioned the structural deficit. He pegged it at like $1 billion to $1.5 billion. This is, if you take revenues right now and keep them where they are, the next 2 years, we make spending commitments already for the next 2 years. So if we're already doing 1921, we're already making commitments for 21-23.
Yes.
When this budget is done, we're going to have a built-in commitment of increased spending of $1 billion.
Right. Okay, you cover Joint Finance. Was the question asked, if you borrow an additional $326, which is less than the governor, how much goes for debt service in the next biennium?
I didn't get those numbers yet.
Okay,
so,
but it's more than one out of every 5 cents.
But what they're talking about is that this is a lower level bonding like in several decades. So I think as the trajectory is going down on borrowing, and the question is what comes next? Then my impression is what comes next for Republicans, at least, is that they know the gas tax is not an option. So if they can get debt service down, they can go back to borrowing, not as much as they have in the past, but go back to borrowing going forward and find they had a $2.5 million provision for $2.5 million to study a mileage-based system for funding roads, which basically is you drive 12,000 miles in a year, I drive 9,000 miles, I pay less taxes than you do.
Yep.
You drive 50,000 miles, you pay more because the gas tax is not sustainable.
But Voss said, don't put a computer in my car that reports it to the state. So you have an honor system. Excuse me.
Yeah, how's that going to work?
Yeah, right.
So they're basically trying to find a solution beyond the gas tax because the gas tax has its own problems. My car that I drive right now is more fuel efficient than the car I had 10 years ago. They're getting more efficient. So I'm paying less in taxes. Even though I drive pretty much the same and have for 10 years, I'm paying less in gas tax each year because my car is more efficient.
And Speaker Voss says he saw a study that in a few years, I'm sorry, a couple decades, 2050, plus 30% of the roads on the car will be electric. So final question, JR, before we listen to a couple legislators on this. Is this the final package, or do you think it'll have to be tweaked?
It depends on, well, one, in the assembly, with the number of members that Robin Voss has as speaker, he can lose a dozen and he's fine. So I get the impression that there's less concern there than the Senate. The Senate's a trickier equation because you have go through the list. You know, there's that conservative wing in the caucus, and you can lay out, like, he's got this problem, he's got this problem.
Strobel voted against it, Nass said no.
So, you know, Nass is not a hard no. He's got concerns, but his concerns are DOT and structural. So how do you address those
things? He laid the groundwork to say no. Okay, now we have an exchange between Senator Erpenbach, Senator Olson on this very subject. Please.
When you tax something, usually you're taxing the person who uses it the most. In this particular case, on the gas tax, those who use the roads the most pay the most. When you just do an across-the-board fee increase, it disproportionately affects people who don't drive that much, but they just have a car. I don't know why the Republicans are letting out-of-state drivers off the hook. I don't know why Republicans aren't making out-of-state drivers pay their fair share like they're making Wisconsinites pay.
The gas tax is not sustainable. It's because cars are more efficient, so they're not burning as much gas, so they're not paying as much gas tax. Every study says it's not sustainable. You've got to figure something out, and this is what we decided that we would do to make sure, and I love them because I got kids who are millennials, but that you are part of the solution, not part of the problem.
The other major issue that Joint Finance built in was health care funding this week, JR. They voted to spend over the next 2 years $588 million more for health care by mid-2021. Let's look at what they agreed on with Governor Evers in concept. Now, they may not agree on exact dollars, but they agreed on to reimbursement to pay more for personal care workers. They agreed to up the reimbursement for nursing homes. They agreed to increase the child care subsidies, and they agreed on higher foster care reimbursements. Now, obviously, we've been talking about this. No expansion of Medicaid, as the governor recommended in February. And they disagree on programs to curb tobacco use, county mental health funding. And the governor put in a lot more cash for dental care for the poor. They also killed that. So your comment on watching the health care package being put together?
Much like transportation was reality without a gas tax increase, this package is reality without expanding Medicaid. So Republicans look for a way to free up general purpose revenue to pump money into reimbursement rates to take care of nursing homes, hospitals, those kinds of things. So they can make the argument they're making an investment in healthcare, right?
Yeah.
They're taking care of the reimbursement rates, but they're not doing the expansion, which Republicans now talk about as welfare, right? Yep. That's the message here from Republicans constantly now. It's expanding welfare, expanding welfare, expanding welfare. Democrats keep saying this is short-sighted. You're turning away more federal money. You're not saving GPR that we could be using to pay for other programs. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
The conversation has not changed since Governor Evers introduced this package at the end of February.
Well, this is a package on healthcare spending that's going to be locked in place. You and I, there's still a question whether we have to tweak the transportation funding package, but this healthcare package is a done deal in terms of the GOP budget.
The question we keep building toward is, okay, so they didn't give him the education, Governor Evers, the education package he wanted. They didn't give him the transportation package you want exactly, though, you know, they get to the same space and place in different ways. But they didn't give him the cornerstone, the Medicaid expansion.
Right.
At what point does he get enough fodder to say...
Tipping point.
To veto the entire thing.
Right.
Okay. And that's I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if he knows the answer to that question, and maybe he won't know until it's all done. But there's going to be some pressure on Governor Evers from his base to say, look, you campaigned on Medicaid expansion. You could have came to Medicaid, on education, and fixing the damn roads, right? So Governor Evers has said time and time again.
Right.
Have you done those three things with this budget? If you haven't, then what do you do?
Right. Okay, time for a short exchange between Representative Gary Goyke of Milwaukee and Joint Finance Co-Chairman John Nygren on this issue of health care funding. Please.
This motion advances, by and large, the status quo. But it isn't a plan to bring forward the entire state's health care system, and it doesn't compare at all in the quality of the plan that Governor Evers has put forward.
Yes, we said no to Medicaid expansion. Guilty. Governor Evers is now acknowledging that the 82,000 people that he continues to talk about have need access to health care actually already have access to health care. This motion addresses the needs of the most vulnerable in our state.
On May 15th, the Assembly passed four abortion-related bills, mm-hmm. putting new restrictions on it. And there was some question, since the governor has promised to veto them, with whether or if, when, the Senate was going to take them up. This week they passed. The Born Alive bill requires medical professionals to keep alive a fetus born after an abortion. Abortion would be banned because of race, gender, or disability, and it would prohibit Medicaid reimbursements, for abortion providers with some exceptions. No surprises in the Senate. It played out the same way, but the governor has said, I'm going to veto this, and that's still where he's at, right?
Okay. The only question is, are they going to try to do a veto override? But they won't get an override because the margins aren't there for Republicans who override the veto.
Then why try an override?
So that's the question. Do they try an override or not? Otherwise, you know, this is, Republicans have accomplished what they wanted to. They fired up their base. They sent a message. Now, there are some people in the Republican base who are going, well, why is this an issue now? Mm-hmm. Not when we had a Republican governor who could have signed these bills. And the response has been, well, it became an issue because of what happened out in Virginia with Governor Northam out there, or bills passed in New York, now in Illinois, that, you know, got this conversation going. But it's, can't deny that this has been, that didn't happen while they had a chance to pass these bills and get them signed into law.
And it's just a question of when the governor's going to veto them. Mm-hmm. He's got a ceremony today raising the LGBT flag over the Capitol. Mm-hmm. But you don't hear that he's going to veto them today, do you?
I don't know. I don't know if he has them yet.
Okay. You and I were at the state convention, and I just want to open with a pretty interesting comment from Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes that deals with recreational marijuana and family Thanksgiving meals. Please.
We put medical marijuana in the state budget, and Robin Voss called it a poison pill. We know the actual poison pills are the pills that are in communities, tearing families apart. You don't see families being torn apart by a marijuana epidemic. If anything, you see families being brought a lot closer together. Think about how much more enjoyable your Thanksgiving dinner could be in a state with recreational marijuana.
Now, this was interesting because here's how Majority Leader Jim Steinke responded. Barnes' comments, ridiculous for anyone to say, let alone an elected official. Pathetic that anyone would push drug use as a way to spend time together as a family. The Barnes doesn't comprehend how drug use in general has ripped families apart. I'm at a loss. He owes the people he serves an apology. Major gaffe by the Lieutenant Governor, J.R.?
I asked a couple people about this, a couple Democrats. You know, what do you think about Lieutenant Governor Barnes saying something like this? And their response was, this is a different politician. We haven't had a Lieutenant Governor in his early 30s. We haven't had a...
He's 32.
African-American
67,
Lieutenant
yes.
Governor.
Right.
The Democratic base loves him. I heard from a Democrat that when they have events, there's a demand for Barnes to come speak because he is part of a new breed of politician in Wisconsin. It's a reality of a generational divide, right?
Yes.
So that might be part of it.
Right. And Wisconsin, I asked the Lieutenant Governor's chief of staff to kind of for more information, and his spokesman put it this way. The Lieutenant Governor believes the responsible recreational use of marijuana is no different than the responsible recreational use of alcohol, looks forward to working towards eliminating the social and racial stigmas behind marijuana use. Let's just fill in the context. In his budget, the governor recommended medical marijuana,
mm-hmm.
And the recreational possession of up to 25 grams.
Decriminalizing it, yes.
Decriminalizing. And the Republicans Republican leaders took both those provisions out.
Yep.
And Speaker Voss said he might be trying to be interested in thread the needle maybe this fall on medical marijuana, but that's got an uphill fight.
Yes, because the Senate GOP leadership is not there when it comes to that provision.
Right, especially in the Senate, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's debrief on the state Democratic Party chair convention that you and I were both at in Milwaukee. First of all, Ben Wickler got more than 1,000 votes, mm-hmm. and Representative Dave Bowen got like 200.
So 233-ish?
So more than 1,200 voting delegates and mm-hmm. alternates. Pretty good turnout?
Yeah, that's about where it was 2 years ago. And 4 years ago, they were in Milwaukee as well. Look, Ben Wickler outworked David Bowen for this race. That was the word I got from people. If you listen to Wickler's comments afterward to myself and another reporter, he said he called every delegate seeking his or her vote. Right. Like, those are the kinds of things that it showed he was organized, went out there and got it. And that's the background. He is an organizer. He worked for MoveOn.org. His challenge is going to be to organize, to raise money, and to be a messenger. Well, he seems to check those boxes to people. And as one Democrat told me this week, look, when you can get the professional operative class and the progressive caucus to like all say this is the guy, that tells you he did the right approach to this campaign.
Okay, but I have this question, JR. You and I saw the text of Governor Evers' speech, and I read it carefully. Not one mention of President Trump. Why? He's the party leader here. Coming up on an important election where Wisconsin was one of three states that elected the president. Why did the speech of the leader of the Democratic Party not mention the president?
Well, probably because the fight ahead of him right now is the budget. You know, so Evers' speech, he focused on, talked about, you know, he's boring, right? Reputation being boring. But he threw some shade at Republicans saying, who's boring now? Mentioning his veto pen.
Like, we're about to hear that.
I'm ready to go. And then two, he talked about the Democratic presidential primary that he had his own crowded race for governor, and then he said it made him a better candidate. And that this could also be a good thing for Democrats to have all these candidates running for president if they stick to the issues and doesn't get personal. Another kind of note, if you follow Governor Evers for a while, he doesn't relish public speaking or, you know, giving a big long speech. That's not really his thing. Some people are naturally born gifted, you know, like politicians. Evers was an educator. He became a superintendent. He became state superintendent, who now is governor. But I had a number of Democrats say, look, he looked more relaxed giving a speech on Friday night. He seemed to enjoy himself at times. We talked about the prepared remarks. If you go through those remarks, he had a couple of funny asides that he made. Now, he still stumbled a couple of lines that were, you know, kind of like rimshot lines. But overall, he seemed to be, like, enjoying himself actually giving a speech.
Well, so now we have a new party chair who's proven his organizational skills, mm-hmm. and you have a fairly low-profile governor who, as you just said, isn't comfortable, you know, scratching the opponent's eyes out. So it's just an interesting scenario going into the presidential election.
Yeah, look, Evers is going to have the bully pulpit more than Ben will, all right? That's the reality of having a governor in your party. It's more important to be a messenger when the governor is of the other party. So for, like, Andrew Hitt, the GOP state chair, he's got more of a role to play as the messenger for the GOP. But also when you're state chair, a lot of times you say things so outrageous that when your candidate, your governor, your whatever, says something more moderate, that person seems reasonable, right? Like Joe Winicky was great at bombastic quotes for Democrats way back in the mid-2000s. Mike Tate, you know, would throw out bombs all the time.
Yep.
That's just the trait of party chairs a lot of times.
Okay, and before we hear segments from the speeches, let's note that the Wickler slate included Milwaukee County Supervisor Felicia Martin and as first vice chair of the Democratic Party, and Lee Snodgrass of Appleton, who ran for the state Senate against Senate President Roth, is now the second vice chair. So any PSs on his slate?
No, slate.
Milwaukee, Appleton, Madison.
It did very well. The votes were fairly close to what he did in his race against David Bowen.
Okay, time to hear from some of the speeches of U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, who Wisconsin I interviewed, and Governor Evers, and Congresswoman Gwen Moore, and then the victory speech from Ben Wickler. Please.
What are we going to do today that will be recognized, observed, or celebrated 50 or 75 or 100 years from now? Will it be that we rose up and boldly and effectively confronted climate change? Will it be that we made health care a right, not a privilege, or even as simple as we stood up for the rule of law.
There's nothing boring about making sure that women in Wisconsin get to make their own health care decisions. I have the most powerful veto pen in the nation. And so them I say, who is boring now?
What point is it for people to have fought for civil rights and labor rights and human rights and for us not to get every single person out to vote and not acknowledge our own inherent worth by being counted in the census? It ain't enough to just arrive.
In the next 2 years, what we do here will shape the future of this state, the future of this country, and the future of the world.
Yes!
We are going to work together. We are going to organize as we never have before across race and geography and all the lines that they try to use to divide us. We are going to come together as a party. We're going to show this country what is possible in Wisconsin. We are going to lead and we are going to win.
Okay, Mr. Wiss, politics, stock picks.
open records. So we had a court decision this week. Essentially, reporters sought records from State Rep Scott Krug, Republican from Macoosa. And Scott Krug turned over emails in paper form. The board said, no, I want the electronic versions because there's a thing called metadata on there. And he said, no, this is good enough. Appeals court says, no, that's not good enough.
Right.
You must turn over electronic records if you receive an enhanced request. So a big victory for, you know, record advocates, that kind of thing.
That's a good one. Mixed.
So Kevin Nicholson.
I saw him at the convention.
Look.
Buttonholing delegates.
Nicholson, during the 2018 Senate race, faced questions about his cred, his deep credibility as a conservative, you know. Where have you been? What have you done? You were the president of the College Democrats in 2000, and now you're running for Senate as a Republican.
You spoke at a Democratic National Convention,
excuse me? It was all about, you know, his credentials. Ever since he lost Leah Vukmir in that Senate primary, he's been trying to kind of build his credibility. I mean, he backed Vukmir. He's been going to Lincoln Day dinners. Now he has a new organization that's going to push for conservative ideas, you know, conservative solutions. It also looks like a ready-made campaign operation,
yep,
because you have several people who worked on his campaign, paid staffers. You have people, his fundraisers on the board. Jim Clouser, who was his honorary campaign co-chair, is on the board, as well as the other honorary campaign co-chair. Oh, and by the way, Dick Uihlein is also on the board.
Resident of the state of Illinois, a very rich resident of the state.
Who also spent a lot of money helping Nicholson in the Senate race,
yeah,
which means that Dick Uline's checkbook is part of this organization as well. This is a way for Nicholson to kind of continue to build that credibility. The question, though, is will he have an opening to run in 2022? Because Ron Johnson still hasn't said he's going to run for third term or run for governor or go back to Oshkosh. Scott Walker is still kicking out there. I mean, so he's been working on that credibility thing. He's got an operation that's going to help him, but we'll have to wait 2-3 years or 5 years
to see what might come up in 2022. Okay, and falling.
Milwaukee, look, when Governor Evers proposed his budget, there was a comment from a Republican, this is a good budget for Milwaukee. Well, as Republicans have pulled it back apart, they've been taking out things for Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, overall, Republicans have wanted to spend less than Evers did. But Republicans or Democrats from Milwaukee now feel like they're being picked upon. That, you know, the lead lateral money, that was pulled out. Schools getting less money.
Aid to low achieving, aid to help close the achievement gap in Milwaukee.
Now, this week the big fight was 71 counties in Wisconsin had their own basically child welfare services departments. Milwaukee is the exception. The state runs it. There is a law, it's been around for I think 20 years, that says when this payment goes up, the cost of the state, Milwaukee's share revenue goes down because we're picking up your costs. Well, apparently since at least 2012, they hadn't taken a hit on their shared revenue. The Republicans put that into this provision, and now Democrats are going, hey, this is not fair. We have all these issues in Milwaukee,
yep,
and you're picking on us.
Right.
Now, there's a great exchange where Representative Evan Goyke said, you're basically screwing us, and Representative Mark Bourne, a Republican from Beaver Dam, said, no, you've been screwing us for all these years, and now we're going to end that tonight.
That's very interesting. Okay, let's look ahead to next week. I'll go first. On Monday, there's a ceremony honoring the ratification of the 19th Amendment. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin was the first to ratify it, giving women the right to vote. And there's a water quality meeting of the Task Force on Water Quality in La Crosse. You preview JFC, and you got about 30 seconds.
Big things left. Taxes, capital budget. We've knocked out the big things, so those two things are left. And then it becomes, how do you get through the state Senate?
Yep, that's a good point. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for May 7th. June 7th, excuse me.